Father, we bow before you, Lord, because you are our God, because you have chosen to manifest the kingdom of God in us, amongst us, and through us, because you have chosen to anchor our hearts behind the veil, declaring to us, O God, that if we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the realities that stand behind the veil are given to us, Lord, that we do not have to strive for what you have given us. What you have given us is open to us as a Sabbath rest. And that Sabbath rest is your idea of perfection. What a difference from under the law, Father. Because under the law, we have this idea that we have to strive for perfection. In grace, we simply have to rest and allow you to work in us the perfection of Jesus Christ. And all things are possible to us through Christ who strengthens us. It is the Holy Spirit who is at work in us to do and to bring forth in us, O God, what we cannot conceive in and of ourselves. It is a humongous reality, O God, that you have opened to us grace upon grace. We simply want to thank you for that, Lord. As we continue with this series to appreciate what you have given us through your word in the kingdom of God, Father, we thank you for choosing us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for giving us Jesus Christ as our eternal gift. We thank you that you have ordained that our hearts will receive him and receive him as an inheritance and as a possession. For his fullness is given to all of us. Nobody is shortchanged. And your Spirit has been sent to indwell us in all eternity so that we will realize all of the treasures of Jesus Christ. And as we realize all of the treasures of Jesus Christ, we will be perfectly reconciled to you, Father. And we will stand before you in the freedom and liberty of truth, perfected in a love that is entirely holy unto you. And this reality will be a new creation that you have achieved with us. We thank you, Lord, that we are no longer under the law. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, that we do not have to try and impress you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us Jesus Christ in order that we will be impressed with you rather than with ourselves. So as we voluntarily learn how to make that great exchange, giving up ourselves to receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ, we thank you for facilitating the exchange, Holy Spirit. We thank you for persevering with us and enabling us to hear, to understand, and to know. Enabling us to bow down. Enabling us, O God, to pursue that which is the truth that will set us free. And as we realize of Jesus Christ, Holy Father, we understand that we will see you. For what we already see of you, we are grateful. But we want to see you in your glory. We want to see you, O God, as a reigning King in our own hearts, Lord, so that we will be truly anchored in your great love and be manifested, O God, as a blessing to you, Father. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's start with our root verses from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. I just want to reiterate these very important verses. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. And Jesus is saying this, he says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. So anything you are able to see in the Word of God with the eyes of your heart, anything that you are able to know from the depths of your heart is a manifestation of God's grace. Don't forget to appreciate that. You cannot intellectually understand the Scriptures. Because the true understanding of the scriptures will enable you to know God. That is the test. And when you know God, you will see God manifest himself in you and through you. If you have a correct understanding of the scriptures, this will always be so. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2. There is a line that says, "And I look to those who tremble in awe or tremble at my word." To tremble at the word of God is something that comes entirely out of revelation knowledge. It will never come out of intellectual knowledge. It is revelation manifested to your heart in the glory of God. It will be an expression of something that only God can do. And there is that realm of the word that God wants us to receive. Today we want to talk about that one aspect of that realm of the word. Today we want to talk about the word of life. The word of life. But let me first read verse 16 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Revelation has to be seen. Now to see something is understanding. It is not merely to see a vision. Even if you see a vision, if that vision doesn't come to you with understanding, it is pointless that you have seen a vision. It means nothing. So whether you see the word in picture form or you see the word in words, the root of everything is this word called understanding. Understanding. And understanding always knows the Holy One. You find that in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Verse 17, "For truly I say to you," now let me read verse 16 again. "Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear." Your heart has the capacity to hear. Your heart has the capacity to see. Far more than your mind is capable of. What your heart sees and what your heart hears, your mind crystallizes. Now in the world system, we always stress the mind. In the kingdom of God, it is the heart. And the mind crystallizes what the heart receives in revelation knowledge. The heart must see and the heart must hear. The heart must discern. The heart must know. And the mind must then crystallize the specifics that we are meant to realize. Okay? "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see." Now these are people who are being mentioned under the law. Men like Moses, men like Elijah, men like Daniel. Great men of God, but nonetheless men of God under the law. "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." But today we stand as a peculiar people purchased in the blood of the Lamb, and we are blessed simply on the merits of the Lamb. Now that is the basis of entry into the kingdom of God. All right? Let me show you what this means to us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Contrasting the law and contrasting the fulfillment of the law that comes to you through Jesus Christ. Under the law, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now as we stand here today, in our own righteousness, we are no comparison to John the Baptist. But in Jesus Christ, God is saying that by grace, in the righteousness of the living God, every one of us stands in a higher plane than John the Baptist. We may not be living in deserts clothed with camel's hair and eating locusts. But because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, God has opened to us a realm of righteousness, grace upon grace, in the merits of Jesus' name. This is what you need to understand. Many of us still measure things from the perspective of the law. And this is why we fail to appreciate the kingdom of heaven. We still keep on measuring ourselves on a meritocracy. Within each one of us, there is this so-called value system based on the law in which we gauge ourselves, and when we fail to achieve a certain thing, we condemn ourselves. But in Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, there is no longer any condemnation. God has received you as you are. And by receiving you into the kingdom of God, by planting the seed of Christ inside of you, God has undertaken in His greatness to make you and me perfect sons of God. And it is going to be achieved by His righteousness and not by your righteousness. The prophets already declare that the righteousness of man is filthy rags. That doesn't mean that God is not interested in us being righteous. But we are going to be righteous in the righteousness of God. All right? Praise the Lord. So, as we look at the word of life, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes. What was from the beginning? If you go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, you will see it was the Word that was in the beginning. Right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handle concerning the word of life. So the word of life here is being introduced to you as a person. The person of Jesus Christ who has died for you. The person of Jesus Christ who brings to you the word of God in a way in which Moses never brought it, or Elijah never brought it, or David never brought it, or Solomon never brought it, or Jonah never brought it, or Amos never brought it, or anyone else ever brought it. The word of life, that is God's new covenant. And verse 2 says, and the life was manifested. So the first thing you need to understand about the word of life is that the word of life is designed to manifest life. And the Greek word for life there is Zoe life. The life that comes from God. The life that is of God. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life. And because this life was manifested, John is saying, I and people like me have received this life, and this life has become a witness that we now bear testimony to you with. So let's read that verse 2 again. And the life was manifested, and we have seen. That means he has understood. He has received that revelation. That revelation that God designed in the word of life, so that there will be a witness that that word of life brings out of us. And John is saying, I have already discovered that. And I'm proclaiming it to you. And I'm not the only person around. There are others with me. And bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life. And this is key. This word of life is designed to manifest to you the eternal life. The life that does not pass away. The life that God is going to develop in your soul and your spirit, so that even if you die, you will live. And this eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And now he says, verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. Now, John is writing this 90 years, AD 90. Something like almost 60 years after Jesus Christ has gone to be with the Father. And now he's bearing witness and he says, we have heard, we have seen, and we proclaim to you also that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What is He saying? That this entire witness that you are being invited to realize is built out of a fellowship of the Father and the Son. Are you with me? This word of life is meant to bring into you a communion. A communion. And it's available for all of us. Amen. Now, John then takes this introduction, and he then brings it to a fulfillment in 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read this from the New King James Bible. Some of the words that the old King James uses are a bit out of date. They don't really give you the whole picture. So 1 John chapter 5. Let's read verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So when you believe in the Son of God, you receive the word of life, and the word of life becomes a living witness inside of you. When you believe in the Son of God, a witness is birthed inside of you, and that witness is the witness. So for everything that you believe in the Son of God, you have to believe it through a reality that is defined. God has defined it as the word of life. It is designed to bring life inside of you. It is designed to bring the life of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. It is designed to bring inside of you the witness and testimony of Jesus, so that you can become a living witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? That you will be able to function in this witness. And the word of life is designed to manifest the specifics of this witness inside of you. And all this is the work of God. It is not the work of man. It is not intellectually appraised. It is realized in your hearts. It is the work of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Are you listening? So the first time you received the word of life was when the seed of Christ was planted inside of you. And life was manifested. And lo and behold, you had a new beginning. And I believe all of us sitting here have experienced that. We didn't fast 40 days and 40 nights to receive that reality. We received it grace upon grace in a moment of time. What did we do? We accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What did we do? We believed in the Son of God. That's all. And for what we believed in the Son of God wasn't a perfect belief, wasn't an earth-shattering belief. It was a simple acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord and He has done a work for us on the cross. And lo and behold, the darkness was shattered and there was light. All right. So God opened inside of you and me the word of life. That word that is designed to build and develop in a witness that will enable you to realize what God has for you. So in verse 7, the apostle defines this witness. And he says that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And in verse 8, he says there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. And immediately you understand that the witness inside of you stands in line with the witness that is in the Godhead. And the word of life has opened into you something that all the religion in the world can never do. Yogis have spent entire lifetime sitting over nails and meditating themselves into oblivion and never realized this kind of a reality. They have tried to pursue it. It has never happened. Buddha sat under the Bo tree and he got a revelation. If you look at some of the pictures of Buddha having a revelation, you will see the hood of the cobra over him, right? Hello, have you seen those photographs? Yeah. That is self-explanatory, right? Okay. But for us, without any of the religious mumbo-jumbo, God opened to us a witness, the witness of the Word of Life, and we are open to the living God. And we are invited to discover this Word of Life so that we will have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And that fellowship is brought into us entirely by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. John chapter 16, verse 14. All that the Father is mine and He, the Holy Spirit, will take it and He will manifest it, He will disclose it to you. And you will come to understand all that God has for you in my name. Right? I'm paraphrasing, but that's the intent of the New Testament. So this Word of Life opens the kingdom of God to you. And you are online with the living God. Powerful, guys. Just as we would carefully craft and design the central processing unit of our computers in order that we can be, by the programs written into that central processing unit, be able to understand, analyze, and see a humongous database. And that's so limited. God, through the Word of Life, is in the process of manifesting in you and me an online basis in which we will be able to communicate with the Most High God at the speed of thought. Are you listening? Having said that, you also realize that there is also a fleshly witness inside of you. And that fleshly witness distorts this witness that God is trying to bring up and build online with Him. But you need to understand something, that dying to the flesh is actually a battle between two witnesses. The witness of your fallen flesh and the witness that God is interested in developing and building from you on the inside online with Him. The online system is built heart to heart. It is built in the testimony of Jesus. That witness is described in blood, water, and spirit. That witness Jesus came and gave you through the cross. When we say that Jesus Christ took upon Himself the sins of the whole world, it is simply this, that Jesus Christ had a witness that was fully attuned to God, although all the sin of the world was arrayed against Him. There was a time on the cross when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But at the end of that period of darkness, He comes back and He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. And that is the battle that Jesus Christ had victory over, bringing forth His witness again before God. And that is the witness that God is manifesting inside of us and choosing to build inside of us. And that witness is described in blood, water, and spirit. So when Jesus died on the cross, He gave up His spirit to the Father for judgment. When the Roman soldier pierced His heart, or that area below His heart, outflowed blood and water. Outflowed blood and water. The apostle John takes the spiritual dimensions of what was manifested in seemingly natural terms, and he says, this is the witness. This is the witness that will enable you and me to be online with God by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus according to the will of the Father. This witness is a perfect expression of the will of God. This witness is the means by which you and I are called to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is the witness that the Holy Spirit is charged with training us and making us come forth in. As we choose to come alive to this witness, we will die to the flesh. Everything you realize in this witness will put to death your flesh. Everything you do not realize in this witness will allow your flesh to continue to reign in you. This is the battle. The good news is that the word of life is designed to work into you this realization of this witness that will enable all of us to stand online before God. Praise the Lord. The implications of this is simply this, that no matter where in the universe we stand, we are online to God at the speed of thought. Very powerful. Now let me show you another aspect of this word of life. You find that in Philippians chapter 2. In verse 16, I'm reading from the New American Standard, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, and it starts with holding fast the word of life. And Paul says, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Now the part that we read in 1 John came many years after Paul was dead. Paul was executed. But before he was executed, one of the books that he wrote was the book of Philippians. And he's talking about holding fast the word of life. And what is the word of life? So let's read for context. Verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And those words, fear and trembling, are words that are meant to manifest in this witness that John brings out, what, something like 30, 40 years later. Are you listening? Paul just mentions those prophetic words, the fear of God and trembling. And he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now that is what God is trying to do. God is at work in you to will and to work in you what is his good pleasure for your life. The psalmist said that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist said in that same psalm, three verses later, that the sum total of God's thoughts over your life and my life are vast. It is no big deal for you and me to have so-called vast thoughts. But for God to have vast thoughts is a totally different ballgame. And this is what the word of life is designed to manifest in you. And here Paul says, it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure what he has for you. And it is his good pleasure that you be revealed as sons of God who are able to function perfectly in God. Are you with me? But in order to do that, your witness must receive two words. This word that talks about the fear of God, and this word that talks about trembling at the word of God. Now, the fear of the Lord and the trembling at the word of God are not realities that we live by. Simply because our hearts have not learned how to respond to God. Generally speaking, whenever we open this book, we apply our minds to it. And because we apply our minds to it, we reduce this book to our level. And when you reduce anything to the level of your fallen mind and my fallen mind, all we can see is that which is of our fallen mind. Obviously, our fallen mind cannot see God. Why? Because our fallen mind has been trained in an educational system that says that God doesn't exist and he's totally irrelevant. Whether you like it or not, from the time we went to kindergarten for upwards, in everything that we have read and realized educationally, the spirit behind our education system says that God does not exist and he is irrelevant to the human race. That is the spirit behind it. So our subjects on the sciences and our subjects on the applied sciences totally reject God as being irrelevant to the study of the sciences. Our study of the social sciences totally disregard God, although God is the only one who can solve those social problems. Our study of economics denies God, denies the reality of God. We simply think that by microeconomic or macroeconomic policies, we can manage the economy. One day we will find that that is not so. That no matter how well we manage it, it will come tumbling down. It is written in this book somewhere, in the book of Revelation. Yeah? It will come tumbling down. So everything, every Babel that is raised against the knowledge of God will be brought down. But that's not the subject of this teaching today. What we are talking about is that there is a reality that God wants to bring into you and me that is a living witness of His glory. And that living witness of His glory, this word is designed to bring into you, this word of life. All right? It's very important that you understand this, because if you and I are not in fellowship with God, we will not appreciate what God can do. God will only manifest Himself in who He is and all that He is. By definition, anything in which God expresses Himself will always be in order to express Himself. If we are not willing to realize who He is, then whatever God gives us will never work out in our lives. So if you look at church history, you will find that yes, God gives us giftings, yes, God gives us anointings, but because we have refused to get into the knowledge of God, we have been very happy just playing with our toys, like our little kids play with the toys that Santa Claus gives them every Christmas. Inevitably, what God gives us never seems to work in an abiding sense. So this is what needs to be reestablished in us. So he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What is he saying when he says work out? He's saying basically respond to what God is saying so that you will realize from God this ability to fear Him and this ability to tremble at His word. Are you listening to me? Okay, now let's look at a few verses that will establish this. Now all this is tied to the reality that is described as the word of life, okay? All right. And all this is meant to be manifested inside of you. Obviously, as it grows inside of you, it is going to unveil a very humongous reality. Are you with me? Okay. How humongous is this reality? To understand this, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. You see, God is talking about something that is of His own expression. There's nothing here that is based on human ability. Are you with me? There is no way you can understand the word of God until it opens inside of you as the morning star. Our son is an example, a physical example or a physical representation of what this meaning is of a morning star. Obviously, God is talking about realities that are entirely beyond us. Are you with me? Do you understand that? But what he is saying here is that you must behold. You must not take your eyes off this possibility. If you take your eyes off this possibility and focus on what you can understand and what you can do, you will never realize this reality. You listening? But if you always understand in your heart that the word of life proclaims that the prophetic word in you will open as a morning star in your heart, he's telling you that this is the manifestation of the light of life. Hello? We're talking about God educating us. We're talking about God making us sons of God. We're talking about God manifesting us in the heavenly places. When God took Father Abraham out, he said, your descendants will be as the stars. He was not simply talking figuratively. He was talking prophetically. Amen. So this morning star is literally manifesting you and me as balls of fire. Okay? And this is what your witness is designed to realize and to express. Obviously, if the word of God manifests inside of you like the sun in the sky, there will be no darkness inside of you, right? Your flesh would be completely burnt up, right? You don't have to stand on your head and balance on one finger, right? Several centuries ago, Christians used to get together, and in order to die to their flesh, they would take a whip and tear their backs. I whip you, you whip me, until we can die to the flesh. Obviously, it did not work, because that happened during what is called the Dark Ages. So much for dying to the flesh, right? God's idea of dying to the flesh is to see Jesus in such a way that you will die to yourself. Are you with me? Now let me show you that as well. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. You know this, right? You know the context in which this verse is. Jesus Christ manifests himself to John, who is imprisoned in the island of Patmos, right? And in verse 17, it tells us the prophetic word. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. That's how you die to yourself. You see Jesus and you die. You don't see Jesus, you will live. Your flesh will live. And you will reap the corruption of your flesh. That's all. And it is experiential. It will come with the disease and the sicknesses. It will come with the failures. It will come with the depression. It will come with everything that sin can manifest to you. But if you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will be healed, you will be delivered, you will be saved, you will be blessed, you will be anointed, you will be consecrated, you will be sanctified. And the witness of the Lord will be built inside of you so that you will always be able to do anything in the name of Jesus Christ and ask for anything, it will be done for you. Amen? The difference, okay? And the difference between the reality of one and the other is grace. Yeah? It is where you are focused on. That is all that it takes. That's why it is so important to see God's word by first seeing God. If you see God on the throne and understand that he can do anything, and then you understand the word in the light of who God is, your understanding of the word of God will be totally different. If you read the word of God and you understand the word of God as something that you're going to use in order to reach God, God help you. Do you understand? The word of God, when you understand it from the perspective of God, it is saying this: you are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. God's ordained that. It is his perfect will. You simply have to realize it. That's all. Yeah? So if you are a prayer warrior and you're wondering, why am I not being open to the heavenly places? It will come. You just have to keep on pursuing it. It will come. It will open to your witness, and you will see, you will understand, you will realize, you will begin to perceive, you will begin to understand. It will come by itself. You don't have to worry about it. It will come. But you have to keep on pursuing it. That's all. If you're a pastor and you want to see the supernatural manifest in your ministry, just keep on going in the Lord. Just keep on fixing your eyes on the Lord. Keep on pursuing the Lord, and the shepherd will manifest himself. As you realize his love, you will see that the miracles and the signs and wonders will come in their time. No need to get worked up about it. And when they come by Jesus Christ, they stay there by Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hello? It does not pass away. Isn't that exciting? Now, you can achieve many things in the world system, but they will all pass away. Absolutely everyone. But everything that you realize and receive in the name of Jesus, it will never pass away. That's when you begin to tremble in awe at what God has given you. Why does God allow us to go through hard valley experiences? So that we will appreciate the mountain experience. But if you do not appreciate the mountain experience with fear and trembling in your heart, that mountain experience will never become a perennial experience. Do you understand that? It will be like casting pearls before swine. What's the problem with the church today? We don't appreciate what God has given us. We are so used to the anointing. And we start teaching rubbish like we have paid the price for it. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Every anointing that you receive comes out of Christ crucified. How did you pay the price for it? How did I pay the price for it? We cannot pay the price for it. It is false teaching. It is fleshly teaching. It is us trying to establish our names before God. But God only recognizes one name, Yeshua. If you're willing to take hold of that name and fill your heart with that name, then God will recognize you. And you will have recognition in and by and through the name of Yeshua. If you want to have your name, good luck to you. Now, this is one of the reasons why we don't tremble at the word of God. Because every time God does something, we somehow or other explain it as something that we have realized because we have paid the price for it. You know, I fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord came to me. You would never have fasted 40 days and 40 nights if God had not enabled you to do that. Hello, brother. What are you bragging about? What are you bragging about? You would never have had the desire to pray like that if God had not given you the spirit of prayer from out of the heart of Jesus. It is not of you. It is something that God has taken out of the heart of Jesus and given to you. You would not see those spectacular visions if you had not received that anointing to see from the heart of Jesus. Of His fullness we have all received. Colossians 1:19 says, it is the Father's good pleasure that all the fullness be of Jesus Christ. So anything that is meant to fill the universe that God is in the process of creating and fashioning, it is out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. His fullness fills all in all. It is written in the Word of God. It is not your fullness, it is not my fullness. If we stand anointed in a position, it is a privilege that God has bestowed on us, grace upon grace, not merit upon merit. I'm not preaching the word of God here because I'm so superior to you, I'm not. It is entirely grace upon grace, and it is entirely by the merits of the Lamb. That's all. There's no ifs and buts about it. If I tell you anything else, I'm lying to you. If I try and establish myself to you, then it's entirely of the flesh. It's a deception. There's only one name that reigns. All that is good, all that is good that is going to stand in the abiding is going to stand by one name, the name of Jesus Christ, and by no other name. So give Him the glory. When you give him the glory, you will understand the word of God with fear and trembling. That's what the apostle means when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Watch your witness. See your response to what God is doing in your life. Who is being glorified inside of you where nobody can see, brother? Who is being glorified inside of you where nobody can see? On whose name are you building your life and your ministry? That's what God's asking. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the word of life is given to you so that you will be able to see Jesus Christ. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's to build in you an online witness. Okay? All right. Let me just lay a few words. I'm not going to expound this, but I just want to lay a few words to you about what the Lord is doing. All right? I'm going to lay a few words to you so that you will understand what God's doing. Let's turn to Isaiah 66 so that we understand what this word trembling is all about. Verse 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? Yet all of us are called the house of Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. You know the verse, right? That we are the house of Christ. So what is God doing with us? He's building us into a house of God. What is the purpose of this house of God? So that within this house of God, he can manifest his own witness. Yeah? So how is this witness going to be defined in? It's going to be defined in the word of life. So where is this house you can build for me? So right there, God says, there's nothing that man can do for me. And where is a place that I may rest? When we celebrate the Sabbath, it's really meant to recognize that God intends to take his rest in your heart as you rest in him. For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. The person is humble and contrite of spirit because he has seen God through his word and he trembles at God. Trembles not in fear. I mean being frightened. But I mean he trembles in the fear of the Lord with a holy, awe-stricken reverence of God. So ask God to reveal his word in your heart so that you will tremble in awe at him. Then when you pray for the sick, you will know he is coming through. That's when you know, when you speak prophetic words into the demonized, that the gates of hell are going to be shattered. You will know it. You will know it because God's coming through. And then you will appreciate that you are a chosen instrument of the Most High God. That no matter what happens around you, you have been chosen by God and you have been established by God. You belong to God. And what a privilege that is. And that's a position that God has given you in all eternity. Isn't that something? So, what is this trembling based on? It is based on the fear of God. So what is the fear of God? Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 115. Verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. So the word of life is built into you in order to manifest the fear of the Lord. And one of the attributes of the fear of the Lord is that you trust him. When God gives you the word of life, you know it is going to be brought to life inside of you. Simple as that. It's only going to take time. Can you see that? I mean, let's say you are 70 years old. And you're wondering, here I am, life is passing me by, I could be gone tomorrow morning. And he's talking about me trembling at God. Yes, Why? Because the word of God is forever. Nothing will be lost, whether you stay here for the next 10 years or you're gone tomorrow morning. Yeah? So, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. So the word of life, when it's manifested in you, will enable you to trust God. Why will you trust God? Because that witness came out of the cross. If you can't trust the Lord who has given his life to you, you will never trust anybody. And if you don't trust the Lord, you ain't going to go anywhere. But this is the key, right? Okay. Now the fear of the Lord is an anointing, by the way. Did you know that? It comes in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, let's just look at that very quickly. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, that is on Jesus Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Amen. So this trust comes as an anointing of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. That all that has been established for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you ask the Lord to manifest the Spirit of the fear of the Lord from the heart of Jesus Christ into your heart, so that your heart is clothed with the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, God will give it to you. And your witness will begin to understand that I trust in the Lord. So don't read these verses by law, read these verses by grace. It is part of God's provision to you. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 10. So you see, when God speaks of the fear of the Lord, he always links it to a reality that will describe the fear of the Lord. That's what you understood from Psalm 115 verse 11. Now you look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. It says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways? So one who fears the Lord will walk in the ways of the Lord. Jesus is the way. Again, it is an enabled reality in the fulfillment of the law. Amen? All right? What else will happen? And then he says, and love him. So, he who fears the Lord will love the Lord. So, do you love Jesus? So, if you can genuinely say that I love Jesus, that is because the fear of the Lord, that anointing of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord has been manifested in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you realize that God has worked that inside of you? Amen. And to serve the Lord your God. So one who fears the Lord will serve him. How you work, how you raise your family, is all meant to serve a higher purpose. Your marriage as husband and wife is for a higher purpose. You are shepherding a family that in the promises of Abraham is meant to grow from generation to generation. Amen? You can make covenant with the Lord that your generations will serve the Lord your God. Amen? And you can bring up your children in that reality. Pray for them, lay hands on them and anoint them on that basis. And it's not because you are super spiritual that God will give it to you, but it will be always because you have chosen to take hold of something that God has given you in Jesus Christ. That's all. As grandparents, you have a right to pray for your generations. They are your generations. Nobody can argue about that, even if your son doesn't like you anymore. You have authority over him, spiritually speaking. You have authority in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I don't mean of the flesh, because that becomes witchcraft. But if you pray without bitterness, if you pray without anger, if you pray without that root of rejection, because your son no longer wants to talk to you, then you will manifest something supernaturally through your generations. So before you go to the Lord, make sure you establish that before God. To serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Now all these will become realities in your own witness. All right, your witness will bear testimony. I'm in ministry because I love the Lord. I see the potentials of my children because I love the Lord. I want to see them rise to serve the Lord your God. Amen. Verse 13, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your Lord. Now, how does that come to us? It comes to us as God writes his laws into our hearts in the new covenant. Amen. Look at verse 20. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him. Who clings to you? Hello, you guys are parents. Who clings to you? Your children cling to you. Have you noticed how they cling to you? Yeah. And that's God's picture of how we should cling to God. And if you fear God, you will cling to God. Do you realize that the fear of God has got nothing about you being frightened about God? It's talking about you wanting to cling to God, right? To come close to him. Because he has loved you with an everlasting love. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 13. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Your King James has got different words, but I like the American Standard. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall worship him and swear by his name. Worship is what the tabernacle of David is all about. So when we worship God, we worship the God whom we trust, the God whom we serve. When we worship God, we worship the God whom we have the privilege of obeying. We serve, we worship the God whom we love. Amen. That's what the tabernacle of David is all about, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And swear by his name. What does swear by his name mean? You have the conviction of the name of Jesus in your heart. It is not the carnal idea of taking oaths. It is that conviction, that confidence in Jesus Christ in your heart. So we fear the Lord only in and by and through the use of the name Jesus in whatever we do. Listening? So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that really ultimately mean? Your willingness to function in the name of Jesus with fear and trembling. Moving towards that. That is what God is asking you to work out. Check what is happening inside of you. Right? Where you're going to celebrate Holy Communion now and Jesus says, remember me. That's what he's talking about. How you remember me and how you live is what Jesus is talking about. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the word of life is a very powerful reality. So John says as he introduces the word of life that we handled him. First John chapter 1 verse 1. We handled him. Right, he had a first-hand reality of handling Jesus Christ, of touching him and eating with him. But 60 years after all that had gone, John is talking about a Jesus that he handles by faith through his ministry, a Jesus who moves through his heart, a Jesus whom he handles with fear and trembling and reverence. Can you see that? And he is manifesting his ministry. He's manifesting his writings. So when he goes into the book of Revelation, he says, it is the testimony of Jesus that I see. The whole book of Revelation is the testimony of Jesus. Do you see what he's saying? I'm presenting the king to all generations. What an honor. I'm presenting the history of mankind. And it's all about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the bride of the Lamb. I have seen the bride. The bride that belongs to the bridegroom, who is my beloved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you see that? So as we celebrate Holy Communion, God's talking about that. How wonderful our ministries will be if we can see and handle the wonder of Jesus alive in our hearts. The wonder of his witness and his testimony alive within us. What kind of ministers would we be? And it's open to all of us. How we can bless our children if we have the reality of Jesus alive in us. How awesomely we can present our generations, the unseen generations, before God. Praise the Lord. When you see Father Abraham, you will understand that this is why God respected Abraham. Because Abraham took God at his word. But Jesus Christ did more than that. That through the sweating of blood, he accepted the will of God. Because of the joy set before him, he was willing to go through the cross. And as we read our passage of the communion, Luke 22, Jesus says with fervent desire, Luke 22 verse 15, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. He is the word of life. And the word of life is to be fulfilled in us, amongst us, so that the kingdom of God will be revealed to us. So that we can become sons of God in fully functional terms, guys. That is your destiny. Hello, I hope you are listening to this and you have not shut your ears to this. You are sons of God. That is your destiny. Not because you deserve it, but because the faith and love of Jesus is expressed over your life. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what God is saying by using that word mystery? It is a revelation that he gives you. You don't have to earn it. You only have to realize it. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Listen to the words, brethren. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized. Realized. You can be sons of God. You can be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Because all that is God's design for your life. Why do you keep looking at yourself, at what you can do and what you can say and what you can pray and what you can do this and do that? Look at what God can do with you. That's why God gave you tongues, so that you can get into the mysteries of Christ instead of sitting down there and wallowing in the flesh and saying, woe is me. What on earth is going to come out of woe is me except more woe is me? Come off it, guys. It's time for us to grow up. It's some time for us to think like kings and not like cattle for the slaughter. That's why Jesus says, remember me. I have died so that you can reach, you can realize fulfillment. And all it is a witness that you have to receive. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. What is that cup? That cup is the witness in blood, water, and spirit that is already alive in you. And he's saying, take that cup and share it. I have already done a work in you. I have already given you a sufficient proof that you are mine, that you are precious to me. So why are you still trying to earn your position before me when I've already paid the price for it? Take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. You see, he says the kingdom of God will come. Where will it come? Inside of you. I am the true vine, you are the branches, the fruit of the vine will come. You're predestined for it. You are elected to receive of that fruitfulness. So focus on what God has given you. Don't look at the flesh. Don't look at your fallen flesh. Don't look at your past. Don't look at what could have been, might have been, should have been, would have been. Don't look at people who have cheated you and opportunities that have passed you by. Brother, you've got a whole universe ahead of you. A universe of reality entirely in eternity. So why on earth are you looking back at the 10 years that have been wasted, or the 20 years that have been wasted, or what could have been, or they denied me this promotion, and you're full of bitterness? What on earth are you worried about? When it is the purpose of God to eternally promote you. At his appointed times, forever and forever and forever. Why are you looking back that you were not made chief engineer? Who the hell once cares about being chief engineer anyway? Listening? Shouldn't have said those words. But seriously, but who cares about what should have been and could have been and would have been? Go ahead and take hold of what will be. And nobody can cheat you. Hello, everything in God, nobody can cheat you. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You are a member of my body. That's what Jesus is saying. It has already been ordained. And all the privileges of being a member of my body are already bequeathed to you. All you have to do is realize it in your witness with fear and trembling. Those are the characteristics of actually having something in God. So when you worship the Lord, you can already tell how you value God. Can't you tell? Say you are a keyboardist and you're playing an instrument. You can tell from the way you play the keys how much you love Jesus. You are singing a song that worships the Lord. You can tell from the way you sing and the tone of your voice and how your witness rises to give glory to God. It can tell you straight away how much you love God. Patulda. You know, when you're a minister and you're praying for people and you're laying hands on them, you can always tell from your insides whether you're at rest at God or you are all worked up. Rest in God. Jesus had 5,000 people to feed. He looked up to heaven and he just blessed the bread, broke it and it multiplied. Total rest. Yeah, that is our heritage. But you see, the key is this. His admiration of God was simply based in a rest. Lazarus is dead. 4 days he has been dead. Jesus says, "Oh God, I know you always hear me. But I'm just saying this so that they can hear and understand that you hear me always. Lazarus, come forth," and he comes forth. No big deal. Now that is the witness God has given you and me as an inheritance and as a possession in all eternity. That's what it's talking about here. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten. That cup is the witness. Saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." It's an oath sworn in my blood. It is an oath that is in place because of my faith and my love for you. Because I have chosen to forgive you, because I have chosen to bequeath my name to you. Brethren, are you not blessed? In the world, we are constantly competing. In the kingdom of God, God is saying, rest in me and you will receive every blessing that I have in you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your thoughts are not like our thoughts. And we thank you, Lord, that it is so. And so we can truly look at your word and understand that you have bequeathed something of humongous proportions to us as the body of Christ. We live in a world where we are so much in a hurry, O Lord. So many things we want to achieve. And all you are saying for us is to achieve the reality of who you are and all that you are. That in order to work out our salvation, all we have to do is to realize the fear of the Lord with trembling in our hearts. And this is your work. This is your work to reveal yourself within us. The word of life is designed so that you will become alive to us. So that we can, in this aliveness, do all things in your precious name. And that's what we are celebrating in this communion, Lord. The word of life. The word of life that is given to us in the substance that is bread, and in the cup that is a living witness in spirit, water, and blood. What an awesome destiny, O Lord, that this communion is meant to manifest a witness in us that will kill our flesh and enable us to live by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus all the time, to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. What the law could not do, your grace and your love has achieved within us. As we celebrate this communion, we are celebrating what you have given us. We are celebrating what we have actualized. We are celebrating what we are continuing to actualize. And we are celebrating what will come forth in the future as we stand as sons of God in the heavenly places. And nations will come to our rising, O God. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, so that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit the unveiling of the prophetic, that is of the substance of the Master's fullness and of his witness, true and faithful, the basis of a new beginning, the basis of a new creation, the basis of us becoming sons of God in fully functional terms. And all things are possible to us because, Lord, this communion declares that as an oath you have sworn to us in the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of the Lamb, we will be your children, Lord. We thank you. Teach us to be little children before you so that we can enter into the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for your word that you have released into us. We thank you for the privilege in which, O God, we have expressed our love to you, O God, in worship, Lord. And truly, Lord, you honored us with your presence, Lord. And we thank you for what you have achieved within us during this time. We thank you for giving us something more of Jesus into our hearts, for making us a little more alive to your Holy Spirit, for making us appreciate that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made, for what you have done inside of us. We give you glory and honor, worship and praise. With thanksgiving, Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May you truly come alive to the Lord your God by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to know and understand the treasures of the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that you may see the heart of the Father, so that you may know all that he has bequeathed to you through the living word. Receive and realize the word of life so that you will stand before God at all times, in every situation and circumstance, and you will never be shaken by what appears to be around you. That you will always be inwardly anchored in the knowledge that you belong to God, that he overshadows you, that he is always your God, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So arise, brethren, in the knowledge that you are blessed. Arise, brethren, in the knowledge that you are loved. Arise and go forth and be a blessing in all of your life. In whatever the situation or circumstance, discover the potentials of being a blessing, so that the Father in heaven will be glorified by all that you manifest by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.